Hello and welcome to Component 2, the Culture of Healthcare. In this first lecture of Unit 9, Socio-Technical Aspects, Clinicians and Technology, we will discuss medical errors. Here are the objectives for this unit. We will discuss concepts of medical error and patient safety, and discuss error as an individual as well as a system problem. We will look at the socio-technical aspects behind resistance to change, discuss the challenges that are associated with adapting work processes to new technology, discuss the downside of adapting this new technology to work practices, and discuss the impact of changing social technical processes on quality, efficiency, and safety. The focus of this lecture is on medical errors and patient safety. Medical errors are mistakes that occur during medical care. These could have been prevented. Patient safety refers to the fact that patients can be harmed as a consequence of errors and that they need to be protected as healthcare is delivered to them. Reducing medical errors and improving patient safety is a core aim of modern medicine. Medical errors have probably existed as long as patient care and healthcare systems have been around. As far back as 1964, one study reported that 20% of patients admitted to a university hospital medical service suffered iatrogenic injury, or an injury caused by a medical procedure, and that 20% of those injuries were either serious or fatal. In the U.S., medical errors are estimated to result in between 44,000 and 98,000 unnecessary inpatient deaths annually, as the Institute of Medicine pointed out in 2000 in their report, To Err is Human, Building a Safer Health System. One estimate has suggested that there may be as many as 1 million excess injuries each year as a consequence of medical errors. We can hypothesize with a reasonable degree of certainty that adverse events occur in all healthcare systems and in all nations. The data suggests that a majority of these events occur in the hospital or inpatient setting, though the data for outpatient events is incomplete. Other areas, including nursing homes, long care facilities, emergency rooms, pharmacies, and even the patient's own homes, are not immune to adverse events. Developing nations have an increased burden when it comes to medical errors. In addition to the usual reasons that exist for medical errors in developed countries, many developing nations face other significant issues that contribute to errors, such as inadequacy of infrastructure and equipment, unreliable drug supply and quality, insufficient technical skills in their healthcare workers due to an inadequacy of training, and in these countries, operating costs are often underfinanced. All of these issues add to the number of medical errors that exist in healthcare infrastructures in developing countries. There are two fundamentally different types of errors. The first are errors caused by individuals. These may be unintended acts of omission or commission. An example of an unintended act of omission would be when a patient is admitted to the hospital and is transferred from one unit to another, and, at the time of transfer, an important medication is left off the medication list. An example of an unintended act of commission would be when a medication that is intended for one patient is delivered to another patient. Individual errors also can be acts that do not achieve their intended outcomes. An example of this would be a misdiagnosis based on an error. The second main type of error is error caused by systems. These are a function of the complexity of healthcare and healthcare technology, and they also exist because of the complexity of disease and the dependence of the process of healthcare on a multiplicity of clinicians and intervention. In the past, the primary focus of inquiry when errors occurred was on the individual, who was felt to have committed the mistake, and on the mistakes themselves. These investigations often reflected the name and blame culture that existed in many healthcare systems and punished those who committed errors. We are now moving away from that focus. The focus is now on the system and fixing inadequacies in the system that can improve patient safety. The focus on the systems also allows individuals to perform their tasks in an environment that is optimized to patient care. We are now beginning to understand that good people make bad mistakes when they work in bad systems, and it makes much more sense to focus on the system and fix the problems inherent within the systems than to place the entire blame on the shoulders of the individual who committed the mistake. Individual errors are also known as slips, and these are unconscious errors. They are usually a glitch when performing repetitive, routine, and often complex actions. Slips are usually not thought-based, and they occur when attention is diverted and there is a break in the routine. Attention can be impaired by many factors, including fear, frustration, anger, and fatigue. So how do we reduce or eliminate individual errors or slips? We need to limit opportunities for loss of attention. For example, sleep deprivation during resident training is associated with an increased incidence of errors. After graduating from medical school, physicians undergo additional specialized training as residents. These are concentrated learning experiences in the clinical setting, and residents often spend a protracted number of hours delivering patient care. This also leads to sleep deprivation and fatigue. Resident training in the United States now limits the number of duty hours per week allowed by residents in order to reduce slips due to fatigue and sleep deprivation. There is another type of individual errors or mistakes that are rule-based or knowledge-based. These are errors of conscious thought. Rule-based errors usually occur during problem-solving when the wrong rule is applied. It suggests an improper use of expertise. Similarly, knowledge-based errors usually occur where the decision-maker confronts a novel situation that they have never experienced before. The lack of expertise leads to an incorrect decision or a mistake. So how do we reduce or eliminate this problem? Rule-based errors can be addressed by using clinical decision support order sets. These may be incorporated into the electronic health record to provide a layer of safety. Clinical decision support also allows clinicians to avoid bias in clinical reasoning. Knowledge-based errors can be reduced by improving the level of knowledge at the point of care. Knowledge can be embedded in the electronic health record. An example of this is info buttons. When clinicians have questions at specific points in their workflow, they can click on a button on the electronic health record that will draw out and bring to the screen the level of knowledge that they require in order to complete their tasks. Knowledge-based errors can also be reduced by fostering a culture of collaboration and consultation. This is typically done by providing care in multidiscipline routines. We will now turn our attention to system errors. System errors occur because of inadequacies within the system that delivers healthcare. They are often committed by multiple individuals who intersect with patient care within the same setting. They may occur at the same point of an individual workflow, but may be committed by different clinicians. These are often difficult to analyze. An example of system errors are medication errors. It has been estimated that unintended changes in medications occur in about a third of all patients at the time of transfer from one unit to another within a hospital. About 14% of patients have unintended changes in their medications when they are discharged from the hospital, and more than half of all patients have at least one unintended medication discrepancy at hospital admission. So as you can see, the issue of medication errors is quite enormous. So how do we reduce medication errors? One method is to put in a system of medication reconciliation. Medication reconciliation is the process of avoiding unintended changes in medications across transitions in care. It requires iterative, repetitive reviews of patients' medications at the time of admission, at the time of transfer, and at the time of discharge. Many different methods have been suggested for medication reconciliation to reduce medication errors. One method recommends that only pharmacists be allowed to order medications in the inpatient setting. Another method links the medication reconciliation process to computerized physician order entry, or CPOE. A third method integrates medication reconciliation within the user interface as a function of the electronic health record. And yet another suggestion has stated that the onus of medication reconciliation be removed from clinicians and reside in the hands of patients themselves, that patients reconcile their medications instead of clinicians. There is evidence that suggests that medication reconciliation reduces errors, but there is not yet adequate data that indicates that medication reconciliation improves outcomes. In this lecture, we have seen that patient safety is important, and we need to reduce or eliminate errors that occur in the inpatient and outpatient settings and across the spectrum of healthcare. So who are driving these patient safety initiatives? Clinicians have taken the lead in providing safer healthcare, and so have hospitals. Regulatory bodies like the Joint Commission and Accreditation for Healthcare Organizations, or JCO, has been a primary driver of hospitals' patient safety initiatives. It is also interesting to see that patients themselves have taken over some aspects of patient safety as a consumer phenomenon.